back to Women Making Moves, where we celebrate the moves that women are making. My name is Amy Pons, founder of Unlock the Magic, coaching, healing, and facilitator of Magic School. I'm joined today with Megan Hamilton. Megan is a speaker, a speaking and transformation coach, a host and producer of the Embracing Enchantment podcast, and founder of Impact Witch and Ubu Skills. She's a speaker advisor at the award-winning TEDx Queens U and has coached TEDx talks around the world. She's a sought-after speaker and event host, and as a musician, has toured Canada coast to coast and into the United States. Megan, welcome.
Hey, Amy. How's it going?
Hi. I'm feeling less nauseous today.
That is always a good sign.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good. We have a tarot conference here in town that's run by this woman that I love. Her name's Marilyn Shannon, and she's a psychic medium. And so I asked her if she wanted some help sort of promoting it for the next round. So I went to her house this morning, and I just love her. You know, and there's certain people whose energy just is so nice to be around. And I got a firsthand glimpse into her collection of crystal balls, of which I'm going to guess there's easily 50 to 60. Like, it's bananas. Wow. Yeah. So maybe those also helped.
Yeah. I love just walking into a place and just like,
Yeah.
I didn't know how to identify that for so long. I wouldn't feel great in certain places. And it was particularly my 9-to-5 that I didn't feel great at. And I was like, oh gosh. And then I realized I could feel better every day and differently. And it's just, for me at least, it's giving the permission to say, this big thing in your life that takes up like your whole day, all day, every day doesn't feel good. How would you possibly move differently?
Mm-hmm.
That was a big permission slip to give. So,
yeah. And it is hard too. I remember the first psychic fair I went to when I was 18 or 19, and I walked in and just went, what is happening right now?
What?
I just felt so overwhelmed. And then, yeah, you definitely get that. Oh, man, I worked in corporate for a long time too. And I don't even know. I can't even imagine. I can't hardly even be in a place that has those overhead fluorescent lights anymore, let alone being there like 8 hours a day, all day, every day. No thanks.
Yeah. It's the only thing we were ever used to, the only thing we were ever taught. So I know why the masses of people are struggling so much to consider that there might be something outside of that or that they could do differently to earn a living. But the paradigm's changing. And this is why we all exist out here, to help usher in that new paradigm and help people feel into a different existence if they're ready to or meant to. So
yeah,
I felt, let's see, I was still in corporate, but I was stirring. I was awakening. I was remembering. And I went to Salem, Massachusetts in October. And I remember some of my more elder, like some of my elder witches in my circle, they were aghast that I would go to Salem in October because there are so many unknown energies that are there. You know, but I didn't feel that. I got there and I was like, whoa, I feel like I'm home. I didn't feel like I was getting drained. I didn't feel like there were entities getting at me. I didn't feel any of that. And the moment I went in for a reading, the person was like, oh, you could read me. I'm like, I don't know what that means. Cause this was when I was at the very beginning. You'll know what that means at some point. I'm like,
that.
Okay,
thanks. You'll know.
I was like, okay. And then again, and I went back to corporate. I was like, what? I couldn't imagine not feeling that, that special again, that at home again. And I really want to live in Salem.
That's so interesting. Maybe you should. Why aren't
know.
You?
I have a partner that's not yet keen on moving that far away from from like next of kin. So
right. Yes.
So I will continue to work on that.
Yeah. And to be clear, when I say that when I walked into the psychic fair and felt the overwhelming energies, that was the humans in the space, right? That was what it was. Usually, if there's anything beyond It is nothing so far in the years, nothing but positive feelings. Yeah, it's interesting because I had somebody on my podcast too. We had been chatting for a long time, talking about, do evil spirits exist? Because I'm not saying that they don't. I'm just saying that has never been my experience. But I do, I do absolutely believe the folks who tell me firsthand what they've encountered and experienced, but that has not been my experience so far.
The same. So I definitely can walk into places and feel vibes are off and
Oh yeah, like immediately.
immediately, as clairsentient, claircognizant is something that is the strongest within me. And I've always had that. So, people have asked me over the years, they're like, are there evil? It just depends on what your lived experience is, what you're surrounded with, what you create. For me personally, when I was in corporate, I could have told you that evil entities exist because I was experiencing that toxicity or that less than energy that I didn't feel personally good with. Was it an entity? Here's what it was for me. My spirit guides were getting into a huddle and they were like, what are we going to put in her pathway
Get her out of here.
to help her realize that she's meant to be out in the wild somewhere? And so that's what's true for me. And so I also do a lot of research and studying around spirits and energy after they leave the human. And sometimes by sheer like trying to get our attention, it can come off as aggressive and they don't mean to. Anyway, it could just be like a million different things. And again, if it's your true lived experience, yeah, that's real. It's interesting for me. I've had such ironclad, like I literally have thousands of women from my ancestry and my guides around me at all times. It's the way that I work with them as well. And I always tell my clients, I share, it's like when you go into a space, when you feel intuitive, when you feel energetics, make sure that when you walk into any either unknown place or a public crowded place, zip up, like literally zip up your energy. Zip it up and be mindful. And when the vibes feel off, you don't have to stay there. So it's just how you manage it, right?
I think that's such a good lesson, especially for women and non-binary folks, is just you don't have to stay, now, obviously said with many caveats, but you don't have to stay somewhere you're uncomfortable or you're unwanted or something doesn't feel right or feel good. You are allowed to leave and you should.
Imagine saying that to someone that never feels good in the way they earn a living. Yeah, you can just leave. That's true. You do have beautiful free will. And to your point about million caveats, it's like
And you've got children and bills and
But, and by any degree, how could you start to navigate differently or remove your energy in some way, make out a deal with like, well, everybody's being forced back to office right now, so it's not a great time. But if you do feel forced to be somewhere that you do not feel comfortable, that's going to have to be something like a reckoning within yourself to be like, do you deserve that? Do you want something different? Can you try for something else? What by any degree can you start making an effort to move differently? And for me, and I don't suggest anyone do this, I had a one last straw moment. I said, oh, today's my last day. I was out with no safety net, no cushion, nothing. That's not ideal. So
No, it's not.
if by any degree that you can identify what makes you feel uncomfortable, start choosing you, whatever that looks like, by any small degree.
I mean, when I left, I had been gearing up to that for a number of years and wanting to leave. I w was not happy there, but there's a number of reasons why I stayed, one of which we were just about to buy a house. And, it doesn't look amazing if you're like, no, I'm self-employed for the last 6 months, but it's cool. I'm going to be fine. Please give me a mortgage. And when things got to the point where they were so awful, I had a chat with my husband and I said, I don't know if I can keep coming here. I don't feel good
Yeah, I was
for
sick.
and haven't for the last few months. And he was like, yeah, you can quit. And I was like, okay. And so I gave myself permission to quit if I needed to at any given point. And then that gave me the freedom in a sense, to just be able to get past, because this specific person had just sort of created it into this environment that was just so uncomfortable. And it goes beyond uncomfortable, but I knew that they were going to be leaving at some point. And so by the time they left, I sort of had the permission in and of itself. It stopped their energy attaching to me. And then I didn't care about them in that situation any longer. But that permission to myself, and this is what I say to my folks too, with all the caveats, because not everybody has the same things in front of them that they have access to. But where can you give yourself that permission to even just not to care about something? Because we have been conditioned to care about what people think, about how we should be managing our money, about what it looks like to be successful, all of these things. And so, as a speaking coach, for example, there's so much untangling in terms of visibility, in terms of being seen. There's so much danger associated with that, with people don't even know, right? And so allowing yourself to divest from the things that we have been encultured with is such a huge step forward. So even if you can't change anything about your situation, what can you change internally so that it doesn't have to bug you as much, essentially? So it's not taking all of that beautiful energy and capability for joy that you have available to you. That is one thing that all of us are able to take a look at and make slow changes towards. But you got to be invested in it, because it only works if you're going to go all in.
And that's what I find a lot of people aren't willing to do yet. Meaning, I hear a lot of like, I couldn't possibly. I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to be here and I'm beholden to this. Okay, I get that. 'Cause it's maybe like with kids or parents or responsibilities, adulting, humaning. And we have beautiful free will. I feel like nobody's talking about this gem of a birthright that we all have. This free will. And it's a lot of conditioning. It's easier said than done, and a million caveats and but and all the things. For instance, I said one time, it was a holiday and we're getting ready to head into the holidays. A woman in my family was just running with her hair on fire around the house, trying to get everything done, everything perfect, everything. So stressed out beyond belief. And it's typically, not always, I won't broad brush, but typically the women of the family that make holidays really special, right? And magical. And nobody's really making it magical or special for her. But, and I digress. I said to her, I said, what if, 'cause she was like, I gotta, just like this laundry list. And I said, what if we didn't have rolls? What if we went and got some from KFC? What if we were to pick up the green beans from a deli? I just started asking these what ifs. She got so unraveled and uncomfortable. And she's like, how dare you? This is grandma's recipe. And this is this. And this is that. And it's this, how dare we have the audacity to make things a little bit easier on ourselves? So again, okay, if you're hell-bent on making grandma's recipe, awesome. Is there anything in the lineup of your list that you could do differently or do or outsource? Be like, hey, kiddo that can drive, go get something. How can you start? Because that I feel like is the biggest piece of permission that I feel like almost women especially don't feel like they're worth asking, or that they deserve. Like that they've got to do everything themselves.
Yeah, or that you've tried all the ways that you could think of to get the support that you needed and aren't getting it. And
Right,
then
you're right, you're right. You're just like, whatever, I'll do it myself.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of it. There's certainly, the archetype from the 50s, 60s, 70s that we'd get so flustered, but then there's kind of the archetypes of now, where you folks have done the asking, have done the trying, have tried to sort of delegate regular and emotional labor, and then it doesn't stick. And you do kind of get to the point sometimes, and certainly I've seen this broadly in so many different places where it's like it doesn't happen unless you do it. And then the fallout from that, the domestic stuff is so freaking
I get that.
complicated.
I get that too, because it's like if it's done half-assed, you're really not wanting it that either. It's like you really want it to be that special, magical thing. So, and I'm not saying women have anything wrong with, I'm not saying that like you don't,
No, I know.
it's more like I know I get it so much that you just want everything to be lovely and wonderful and perfect. And what if things could be lovely, wonderful, and perfect for you too? And
Yeah, imagine.
imagine, like for instance, I kind of threw it out there. I'm like, hey, to families, I'm like, for Thanksgiving, I'm gonna make a couple things. And if you want to stop by, cool. But I'm just gonna be in sweatpants eating some mashed potatoes, whatever.
That
If you want to come
sounds
by, that's kind of
amazing.
that's my elder millennial vibe for holidays, because I'm no longer interested in running myself into the ground to make something. First, I'm not sure how much I vibe with the mainstream holidays anyway. So,
Right, exactly. Yeah,
if
there's
you want to
that
eat,
too.
if you want to eat some good food, we'll get together. But also, I might talk about how it wasn't a peaceful day. The holidays whitewashed. I digress. Anyway, another conversation.
P.S. This might happen if you come over. And
Yes,
that's a
you might get
really,
a new
that is a
history lesson.
surefire way of making sure that nobody does come over and you can just eat all the mashed potatoes yourself in your
Be like,
sweatpants.
I'm gonna show us a documentary about what really happened. Everyone's gonna be like, no.
They're all secretly like having another Thanksgiving behind your back. They're like, that's okay. We'll just do our own thing.
And I would be happy as a clam in high tide. I'd be like, sweet. I get to lay with my dog and eat mashed potatoes and watch all the Friends Thanksgivings, right? Or something, whatever.
Right. Yes. It is interesting though. I mean, I think to your point, the idea that perfectionism plays such a huge role, especially for women and non-binary folks, and the way we've been conditioned and cultured, that is something that is very difficult to untangle from because it shows up in so many different ways and areas. And so, even me, I can't remember what it was recently, but I have never considered myself to be a perfectionist. I have always been fairly good at putting things out like 85%. And so then
And
I thought to myself, well, I'm not a perfectionist. But then I like apologies to come to me a certain way. There's just certain things that I'm starting to realize, oh, what if I could recognize this act, this behavior that's been given to me as the apology with which I think it's meant, and not need to have it be a different way and be able to accept it. That so then what does that say about, I'm getting in the weeds here, but like what does that say about what society tells me that I need in order to have a resolution of some kind? Does that make sense? I can have it be my way and understand on a very deep level what's happened, and that's okay. I guess it goes back to your first point of what's your inner knowing on any of this stuff, and how can that be the compass that you use? Because you don't have to grocery shop at the store. You can grow vegetables in your backyard if you have a backyard, and you don't have to have a turkey for Thanksgiving if you don't want to, or if that's going to put you in debt. You don't have to make a certain amount of money. You don't have to have a TV. Like all this stuff that we kind of know, but we don't really know. And because it's not just those decisions, it's also dealing with all of the other people that you encounter who then make assumptions or ask you questions. And then you're spending like all of that emotional labor answering or having to defend yourself or not, and then potentially losing relationships. So there are lots of things to consider when you're divesting from norms
Or
using your
the conditioning. Well, it's interesting that you say all of that, because I would say I've been on my mainstream unsubscription journey for about 3 years now, and I do question everything now. And it's kind of a joy for me. It's kind of like, ooh, interesting. Like, why do we have TVs in every room of the house that we don't use ever? Like, why are they there? Why did we, why? And it's just
When did
something
that
that you
happen?
did. Like, why? You just something you did. And I probably in my corporate life, it was probably part of like gaining success. There's just so many things that I don't resonate with anymore. And it's interesting you bring up about relationships too. A lot of what I work on with my clients is when they start to turn back inward into their truth center, which is anywhere from, I mean, it's unique to every single soul on this planet and beyond, but it's primarily somewhere between your heart, your solar plexus, and your sacral chakras. Like somewhere in there is your truth center and the relationship back to your soul spirit. When you can tap into your truth center and be able to differentiate between what your truth center feels and what your brain or mind, where a lot of our conditioning lives as well, because that's what we learned. It's up there somewhere. When you can differentiate the two, then you're like, oh, wait. If you give yourself the pause to say, okay, I'm recognizing in this moment that my mind feels that I should do this, but my truth center wants to do this, you get to have this beautiful moment of that degree of how you want to move in either direction. And it's not asking you to say, fuck everybody and fuck everybody outside of myself. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's more about understanding what your truth is and being like, to your point, maybe we don't have the 12 course fixins. It's deciding that you do have that free will to move in a different way by any degree, and you don't owe anybody an explanation. And oh, by the way, if they do make you have an explanation, maybe that person is no longer your people. And that gets into a harder part too, because then to your point, you lose relationships. But is it losing? Or is it that you've set a boundary toward your truth center and that person doesn't have capacity to uphold it? And does it mean they're bad? No. Does it mean you're bad? No. Nothing bad has to happen. A lot of my clients are releasing a lot of relationships right now, and they're like, and I was like, hey, listen, nothing bad has to happen. There doesn't have to be a confrontation. There doesn't have to be a fight. There can just be here's a boundary, and they're going to either support that or not. And then they get to choose with their free will what they do with that. And it's not easy, but it's so beautiful when you're able to lovingly release based on your truth center.
Well, exactly. And I mean, I've gotten to the point in the last few years where I don't even necessarily share my boundaries any longer, especially if I feel that I've been clear about certain things. So instead, I just energetically give out what has been offered to me and I leave it at that and don't feel a necessity to build on something that I've had a new realization about, let's just say. But, you know, back to what you were talking about asking yourself why, it's so funny. A few years ago, I took a tarot course with a woman named Jessica Dore, and it was called Deconstructing the Tarot. And I'm a huge fan of hers. And she started having us question all of the archetypes. And then she's like, is tarot based on archetypes? It's like, huh? I think so. I don't know, isn't it? And she's like, just is it? And then, you know, like, are the sevens all related? You know, just asking those questions, because what it does is it opens up doors for you to be creative, to use different parts of your mind. And then I've taken it even further in the last little while. And I just wrote an email about it yesterday. I'm doing this series called Impact 33. And so this is where every day for 33 days, this is how I came up with it. I wanted to create an ebook about impact. And I wanted to pay myself to write this book. So what I did was I had people sign up to get an email series. So they get a one a day email series. So they paid in advance. And then I have paid myself to write this book, but I've also put myself on a deadline. So I'm writing it every single day. I was very proud of myself for that little idea. And one of the ones recently was Deconstruct Everything. You know, start with something small so that you can really start to realize where your enculturation is truly living with you. But then you can just ask yourself all these questions like, do I have to care about this? Do I need to have dinner at 6 o'clock? Like, does anybody else want to have dinner at 6 o'clock? And that's one small thing. I'm not the only person who makes dinner in the house. Like, there's all kinds of different things,
It's
but
all the things. Yeah, it gets to be all
it's
the
all the
things.
things. It's like, do I have to? That was a huge one for business. Do I have to do it this way? Do I have to care about creating a business plan that I will never use, that I literally just use to get grants? I mean, I guess I'll make it for that, but I will never use this. It is not how I make business decisions. I had a conversation the other day where I said, so I just rebranded from UBU Skills to Impact Witch, and that was in September. I had no plan to rebrand. That was not on my 2025 list. But there I was doing journaling one day, and all of a sudden, Impact Witch comes down, and I'm like, oh, that's it. I guess I'm rebranding. Okay. There wasn't even a question. And I don't mean that like every single thing I get, I just go with without having any kind of worry about it, because that would be not true. But I was like, okay, well, that's what we're doing now. I didn't have a plan, but I've been a small business owner for the last 32 years in different capacities. I have a pretty good amount of self-efficacy. I know that I'm going to be fine doing this. And so I say often that I make all my business decisions on vibes, but they're highly informed vibes full of wisdom and lived experience.
Megan, same. I created Unlock the Magic without a website. Like I launched just because it was my vibe, it was my calling. Whether you subscribe to like woo-woo, witchiness, whatever it is, like whatever you subscribe to out in the world. The fact remains is that in your DNA, in your bones, you have this incredible ancestral wisdom from all the who came before you or from your guides or whomever. It's when you remember, for me at least, like when you remember that you're not just a human, things don't drop into your consciousness or awareness by accident. There is no coincidence. And so when those drop in and you feel it in your body and it's like a yep, that's the moment I find that a lot of people will question it. They don't trust themselves enough or their truth center enough because they've only learned one way of how to do business or how to get a job or how to live in this life. So if it doesn't align with one of those truths, then it can't be true. And that's a big part of why I launched Magic School. And congratulations on Impact Witch. Magic School is to reignite your intuition and to trust your first instincts again, which we've gotten really far away from.
So far away from
Yeah.
conditioned to.
And so Magic School lets us play and lets us consider. Even what I teach, I'm like, hey, this is one way. If you feel something different, do that, kind of like your tarot teacher. So it's considering that there's no one way, there's no one answer ever again in life. And that probably gives a lot of people unrest because they want something so structured and they want the answers. And so I know how hard this new paradigm can be for many, almost everybody. So.
It goes back to everything. It goes back to science. We developed science to give us an answer that is actually more just like a series of averages. We even gender to everything. Everything that has been constructed from humans is simply a way for us. I mean, it didn't begin this way. It began as a way of just trying to live and navigate and keep track of things and,
Have
but then
control.
have some control over what, yeah, exactly. But then it became controlling. And then it became like even the scientific method where people are now going, okay, well, hold on up. Just wait, like, wait one little minute. But if we do it this way, we're actually negating a whole series. And this isn't the woo people, these are the scientists that are saying, there's a lot of stuff here that we're missing because this is not included. We don't include emotions. We don't include people with hormones. And then, so now that there's that getting questioned, and then there's the folks who need that order and need that control. But the whole premise of magic from the get-go is holding two seemingly opposing things to be true at the same time. That's the whole pathway into a different way of looking at the world. And so
And
once you
doesn't.
get that, right, you're in.
Yes. And science has proven, science has proven now that there are actual infinite possibilities and multiple dimensions and
Literal
only
multiple timelines.
literal multiple timelines. The multiverse exists. And the moment that you as a human give focus and energy and belief to one of those infinite possibilities, then you bring it into your lived experience. Everyone's like, what? So it is mind-blowing, and it but that's science is catching up to like what we already know in our innate knowing, wisdom, bones, DNA, you know, like what we've always known is like back in our villages that, you know, our ancestors lived in. So it gets to be, I always say this, like it gets to be both, it gets to be all. And what are you creating? And it gets to be that simple to kind of navigate through. And if you have to have routine and structure and order, that's part of the old systems that are being deconstructed. And so it's worth, if you can, considering letting some of that control go a little bit. Otherwise, it'll be a pretty rough go for you. So I want to, Megan, I want to get into a little bit more about tarot, your magic, your impact. Tell us more about Impact Witch, your tarot work, spirituality, and then I want to go to a post that you made recently about tarot because I'm a baby witch when it comes to tarot, but a fascinating practice to me, and I just want to hear more about it from you.
Sure. So the different iterations of UBU skills, I began as a public speaking coach. Well, that never felt completely great. And UBU skills, in and of itself, was UBU. The whole idea is allowing you to be you because that's the best version of yourself because we're all trying to mask and be different versions of ourselves. So it was literally just public speaking, and that didn't feel amazing. And then I worked with somebody named Jericho Mandiber, who is just a very beloved human to me. And I think they started as my creativity coach. I don't even know. Like, it's all morphed together. And then I don't even remember what we were doing together, but it was magic and like literal and symbolic. And we were talking about niching down and how I didn't feel right about this. And they said, well, what if we niche up? Because maybe this doesn't actually encompass everything that you do. And so, again, even that, like everybody has to niche down. You got to figure out your client avatar. And like, I do think there's absolute truth to that. And if you're just starting out and you're just like, I have no idea, and you don't know what you don't know, like those things are incredibly helpful. But then they were like, well, what are the things that you do? And I said, well, speaking and then like visibility, because that was something I was working on, like how to, because I was starting to do shadow work with my clients, how to actually do it. Because people are like, just get out there and put yourself out there. It's like, I don't know how. I am full of anxiety and social conditioning. And so that was part of it. And confidence, because, you know, confidence is something you cultivate on your own through self-efficacy and other things that you do. So then it was, okay, I'm a speaking visibility and confidence coach. And then more recently started working with transformation coaching, and I developed a tarot and coaching model that just, as soon as it came to me all at once, again, fully formed, the whole program ready to go, and sold out pretty much immediately after a really rough year in my business. I went from having the best year I'd ever had to having the worst year that I hope I'd never have to have again, but a huge year of spiritual growth. So when Impact Witch came to me, it was because I felt finally comfortable being spiritually minded, forward focused in my business, and impact is all the things that I was just talking about. It is tarot, it is shadow, it is speaking, it is visibility. It's people out there who want to have an impact. And that can be a big impact, and that can be, you know, in whatever they do. But also, how can you create more impact in the stuff you're already doing? So that's some of the stuff that we talk about as well. For tarot, I got a tarot deck from my best friend for my 24th birthday. So I've been practicing it for a super long time now, nearly 30 years. And one year, the year that I left my corporate job and went into my business full time, so this is 5 years ago now, I thought to myself, I want to have something that's an offer around the holidays that's an easy yes, that isn't as expensive as, the coaching stuff. I thought, I wonder if doing tarot readings is going to be too confusing for people, or if they're going to start thinking a certain way about me, blah, 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 blah. Because at that time, I was still trying to chase corporate gigs. So it's like, well, that's where the money is. And so I offer tarot readings. And again, like they sold out almost immediately. That's because they were very underpriced. But I was like, oh, interesting. And then what was fascinating to me was the majority of my speaking coaching clients the next year came from my tarot readings. Okay, so that's interesting information, right? And then so the next year, when I was trying for this, I thought that this one place I was going to was the way. And that was, it was kind of scary and there was a lot of like soul searching I had to do for it. But it was very not spiritual in terms of its structure. And that was the year that nothing worked until I came up with Arcana Pathfinder, which is the coaching and tarot program. And then everything shifted. And I have a small business program that I do with folks. And I added some mini workshops from some of our favorite spiritual folks out in the world, like Colin Bedell. He's Queer Cosmos on Instagram, and he does the horoscopes for Cosmo. And, I brought in all of these, I call them my Avengers. And that's where that went. And so, anyways, that's how we got to Impact Witch. And it had to go this way. And I'm glad to be on this side of it, I'll tell you that.
Well, I've had two moments, not short moments, over the past 2.5 years of my being in business where I've been paused and I've had a new dark night of the soul. I know when I'm being paused that I have some things to excavate. So that's the other part. It kind of gets to be beautiful that way too, because when you remember that you're one with whichever you subscribe to, you know that nothing's happening to you, and it's not comfortable, but it's a little bit comforting to know, like, okay, received, and I'll sit still for a minute and try to figure out what this growth path is. And I had one over the summer, and my guides were asking to level up my business, and I'm like, I'm still working through like what that even looks like. And so, but it gets to be what it is every day, and I meet it where it is while providing soul aligned action toward what does feel good. And that's what really gets to be true too, is like when you are so tapped into your truth center, it is a hell yes or hell no, and it's you get to move forward based on that inner knowing. Wow, this went fast. As we start to wind down, you wrote recently on LinkedIn about ready for your tower moment related to tarot. Tell us about the tower moment.
Yeah. So when I was coming up with all of the imagery for Impact Witch, I work with a designer named Bree Ron, and they are amazing. And I came up with sort of five areas that I wanted to focus on in the business. And one of them was impact. And we decided, or Bree might have come up with that on their own, but it was the tower. So the post you're referring to was the launch of Impact 33. It's a very small launch. Again, that was the thing I wanted to pay myself for as I was writing it. I think today would be day 15. So we're almost halfway there. And that's it. It's the tower moment. But the thing about the tower in tarot is it depends on where you're coming at it from, because sometimes you want that impact, you want that change, or and I believe I borrow this from Rachel Pollack. You get signs from your guides that something needs to change, and you either do it on your timeline or it will change on the timeline that is very not helpful. Doesn't feel very good. But you get the choice. It's just on whether or not you act on it. And so for a tower, if you see the signs coming up, you got to go ahead, let your instinct guide you, but you've got to restructure something or redo something, or let it change, or else it's going to happen either way. And so that's the tower moment, is choosing to figure out where you're going to create impact and how the impact is going to happen. And that's the literal impact for the tower card in tarot, lightning bolt striking the tower, and then you have to sort of start over again.
I love the
Holy
tower.
cows.
I love the tower. I
Yeah.
love the retrograde. I love all of these invitations when things come in and everyone kind of like hunkers down. I'm like, nah. I'm like,
Yeah.
let me go out and dance in the rain.
I say that I love them, but then sometimes when I'm in them, I'm like, oh my God,
Oh
what am
yeah.
I doing this for? But I have also been working a lot on nervous system regulation. And once you kind of have that, it really makes a big change.
No, that absolutely is true. Yeah, I don't like when I'm in the depths of it, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Ugh. But I love it. It's and then I come out the other side and it's like, oh cool, that was fun.
Totally.
So Megan, as we start to wrap up, what would you say to the folks who, because we know that there's a cosmic, literal cosmic awakening happening this year with the astrology, and we're heading into the age of Aquarius. There's so many things that, like, our DNA is getting upgraded at a cellular level. What would you say to the people that are absolutely rejecting this moment in time and they hurt? Like, they're really struggling through it, but they're not willing to necessarily face it. Is it more of that, like what we're talking about with free will, like you don't have to do anything ever, but is there something that you would share with those people that are really struggling with all of the this time and space where we chose to be here during the systemic change so that we could experience it? What would you say to those folks who are rejecting it, or would you just let them enjoy their beautiful free will?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really ever try to convince people.
No.
I mean, unless if, again, caveat times a million, I will definitely try to convince you not to be an absolute shithead to somebody. But I don't try to convince people. I really do try to lead by example, and I enjoy my life. I love meaning. I love meaning making. I understand why I gravitate to the stuff that I do, and
Maybe it's not convincing. Maybe what would you say to the people that are curious, but then like literally have no idea how to start embracing?
yeah, sure. So then I would just say go to the thing that's calling you. Like if you're curious about tarot cards, for example, but you're just like, oh, I don't know, they're the devil or whatever, but there's something about tarot that keeps sort of like inviting you, maybe get curious about it or find somebody who is into tarot that you don't find scary and you can
Right.
see, you can try to find a bridge to that. Or maybe you're really curious about spiritualism. And so maybe you find somebody who has seen a psychic that they really loved. And maybe you say, maybe I'll just be just curious. Like, what about if I try this? If you're being called to something, then perhaps there's a reason for that. And you could just tease it on the edges. Because even for me, I mean, it is a constantly evolving understanding and relationship with what is around me, what my interests are, what my values are, where I want to go in life. And I try to, as much as possible, with all of the things that we need as human beings to survive and thrive, follow my what is coming to me. But I also have been fine-tuning that for a really long time and convening with all of the different energies that I like to convene with and trusting, making those big leaps. I got the Fool this morning. Oh, you were asking about tarot. We'll talk about that another time. How about
Maybe part two. Yeah, what part two? Well, and I love that you say that. It's like find something that's not scary. For me in particular, when I was in my copy paste autopilot corporate mode, rejecting everything that was going to make me change and get uncomfortable, I always had oh my gosh, I was obsessed with watching anything about the paranormal. That was like my inkling that I'm curious, that I'm just like,
Interesting,
what is
interesting.
that? And I would not like
Yeah.
want to tell anybody. I'm like, why
Yeah.
am I'm weird. I like all this paranormal stuff. No,
Yeah.
that was my inkling. And now I understand it's because I can feel energy. And so I would say to you, if you feel disconnected from your truth center, that might be at the very simplest form, something that you might be, but you want to be, and you don't know how to get there. That could be your intro point. So, Megan, where can we find you and support your work?
Oh, sure. Yes. So impactwitch.com socials. I'm on Instagram. That's my most social place, which is at impactwitch. I'm on TikTok. I am on LinkedIn, Megan Hamilton Music. It's not my fave, but I show up there every once in a while. And best thing to do is get on my newsletter.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yes.
Closing remarks as we wrap up.
I'm going to share with you something that Jericho Mandeber, who I mentioned earlier, shared with me once, and because it's just so beautiful. You are allowed to dream as big as you can. That is your birthright. I think the ability to dream big is a gateway to a new land of possibilities for you, a new way of being. Yeah, I like it.
That is gorgeous. Thank you so much. Thanks, Megan.
Thank you.